Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
I welcome him to say that even more. Every time he says that, I'll show him another picture.
He's lying.
He's lying.
I smell a rat here. The guy is crooked as a snake.
He may be friends with Rudy Giuliani, Victoria Tunzing, and Joe DiGenova. I'm almost positive that being friends with those three people is not a crime.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax. Everybody knows that.
It's not a question of saying what proof. It says what allegations have been made.
Man, you're a liberal hack.
It's not about proof. It's only about the allegations that have been made. Didn't you know that in America? Mm-hmm. You are guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
I thought that was a very telling statement.
Thank you, Nancy. It's about the allegations that have been made. They're all a little afraid of this Lab Parnas guy. They really are. You can tell from they're hesitant. They love the fact that CNN and MSNBC are touting him out there as having all the dirt and having pictures with the president. You know how many, maybe tens of thousands, but at least thousands of people, even Donald Trump, has taken pictures within his lifetime. Think he knows anything about most of those people?
No.
Think Obama knew anything about most of the people he took pictures with? No. You can go all the way back in history. Presidents take pictures, and that doesn't mean there's an association there, but that's kind of what they're trying to prove today.
They must really not trust this situation, because this is the kind of thing, like the Russia thing or the Ukraine thing or whatever, that they would have put a ball on a tee and start swinging at.
If there
was even a shred of what they believed to be evidence, they would have, every talking head, Adam Schiff, Pelosi, all of them would have been out talking about how great this guy is.
Adam who?
Schiff.
I don't know who that is, but I did. My favorite soundbite of the day from yesterday was this little beauty from Alex Trebek.
U.S. representatives for 12.
1/53 of California's House delegation is this Intelligence Committee chairman. His name is Adam Schiff. Back to you, Veronica.
Nobody on Jeopardy knew who
Back
he was
to you,
with this
Veronica.
Picture.
That is funny. I mean, he's been everywhere.
I wonder if that's indicative of how little the general population cares about this thing.
You gotta wonder.
I think it is.
I think so, too.
Because those are some, smart people that are, you assume are aware of most of what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, those are the people that you want to have on your team if you go to the church trivia night, right? You want one of those people that would excel at Jeopardy to be on your team. And these three people who were vying for however many thousands of dollars had no idea who the little bug-eyed Adam Schiff was.
And you know why they used him? Because he's been everywhere recently.
Sure.
That should have been a gimme.
Yeah. Because you could clearly randomly pick members of Congress that none of us would know who they are.
Yes. Absolutely.
But this guy's the, judiciary chairman. So,
That's funny.
But, I mean, we're inundated with it. I think maybe America's fatigued by how often they're hammering on these fake things,
Yeah, maybe.
But as a country and as a society, that's just not the priorities of, impeachment falls way down below paying the
daily
bills
life,
and, taking your kids to basketball and school closing.
Speaking of fatigued, we got somebody out of bed early this morning. Let's get her on here.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Back up, you creep.
So beat the drum with me.
Get away from me.
I'm not a married
Annie Fry from the Annie Fry Show joining us this morning. Annie, how are you?
I'm good. Usually my house is empty when I make this phone call into your fine show. But my whole family is home today. All the schools are closed that my kids, my husband teaches at, my kids go to. So we've got a full house now.
I mean, the roads are horrid out there. You don't want to step outside of the house this morning.
Well, I don't worry, but I will.
It'll come.
I will be in.
I'm just kidding you. There's not even a drop here. I've been watching all the local news coverage, and they've got cameras out in Sullivan, Missouri, way out west, waiting for the first snowflake to drop. I used to hate that as a reporter. They'd send me out there for Channel 4. This is the first place we're going to see snow. And they'd come to me 6 times or 7 times before it snowed, and you finally don't have anything else to say. Well, it's not snowing yet. Why did you come to me again?
What years were you doing that kind of stuff? What was the time frame?
Boy, 1993 all the way through 2012. I was your street reporter.
You were out there because little girls like Annie Fry would be I wasn't Annie Fry then, but you'd turn on the TV and you'd watch a Mark Cox stand out there, and there was nothing like watching the names of the schools scroll across the bottom of the screen.
Yes. Yeah,
and that is a great point.
Pretty much the only reason I learned the alphabet, because when the Edwardsville School District would get canceled and I'd see like DeSoto go up there and then Festus, it was like the worst thing in the entire world to see that E get skipped over. But boy, getting that feeling at 6 a.m. when you know that your school has been canceled and you get to go back to bed, that's almost as good as Christmas morning.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I saw a list the other day of things kids these days will never experience. Mm-hmm. And one of them was that I identified with totally. Kids today will never experience the pain of having to turn the radio on in the morning and listen to the anchors read the school closings alphabetically, waiting for them to get to your school. Because now they just flip open the phone and the list is right there at their fingertips.
Or you get text messages and phone calls from the school that just tell you what's going on.
For me, you get all three. Yeah. You get the phone call, the text message, and the email.
Yeah. Just about 30 minutes ago, my kids opened up the bedroom door here and asked my husband, school out? Yep, school's out. Okay, go back to bed. That was it. There's no effort there. They did not earn that school day.
You know, Annie, one of the things that I admire about you is that you've always been so involved in sports and your kids' sporting activities, and you've helped coach and all that stuff. We've talked about that before. I haven't talked to you about this baseball controversy that's come up, but the more that comes out, now the allegation that some of these players were wearing little buzzers inside of their jerseys on their shoulders, that they would get signals as to whether it was an off-speed pitch or a fastball. I mean, that takes this to a new level other than just reading the signs of the pitchers potentially.
Yeah, you know, I haven't done this yet. This is on my list of things to hopefully do this morning here. But I am interested in however long the Astros were cheating. We know they were the genesis of this version of cheating. And then it spread a little bit, maybe as the players left that team. I want to know the contracts that these professional athletes signed after this took place, and after they had padded their numbers, after they cheated out other pitchers from their numbers. What kind of effect did that have on the business of baseball? And I know, I completely understand the question about, you know, the purity of the game. This is not the first cheating scandal that has rocked Major League Baseball, but it is the latest. And I almost think it's the grossest because it's a coordinated effort by a team to defeat other teams in a way that is completely and totally unfair. And I, at first, you know, I've heard people discuss should the Astros lose their World Series, should Boston lose their World Series, and I thought, well, there's nowhere else to put it, so I don't know what's gained by taking away this World Series championship. But the more I think about it, and the more egregious it appears as though this cheating actually was, they certainly didn't earn it. So I don't think that the World Series championship has to go to another team. You can't replay those games in any capacity. Those players aren't even at the same place anymore. Plus, 2 years is a long time in baseball, aging. And, you know, I think you strip them of it. And I think it just, when you go look in the history books, I think that one of the biggest punishments you can do is look back on 2017 and see the Houston Astros name up there is winning the World Series with a big line through it, because if you allow cheating in this game, if you allow people to get away with it, and it looks as though the MLB is pretty locked down and locked in on not allowing it, if you allow that to stand, it's not going to be as I don't think it's going to speak as loud to future teams, to future methods with which these players try to take an edge, an unfair, illegal edge on this game, illegal according to the MLB rules. I think you need to make them pay. And I know everybody keeps bringing up Pete Rose, but he's got to be, if I were him, I'd be cracking open an extra beer right now while I'm watching this unfold and think, I'm never going to see the Hall of Fame. And I only bet on myself, not against anyone else.
Yeah, that's a great, I made a similar point yesterday because, of course, I grew up in Cincinnati watching the Big Red Machine. And, you know, I thought Pete got a raw deal because you got people who are drug addicts who are given multiple chances to come back. And some of them are now in the Hall of Fame. Gambling is an addiction. In this particular case, I was thinking about this. What advantage? There's no doubt that if you know at least a general idea of whether it's an off-speed pitch or a fastball, it would help you as a batter to increase your chances of hitting it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And these are the best of the very best hitters that if you give them even, I mean, like part of the game is stealing signs from pitchers who are not concealing their grip on the ball,
right,
or from catchers who are not using a developed enough sequence in order to, if you just throw down a one and the runner on second can see fastball and you haven't done anything to hide that, that's your fault. Using technology to tip off a player, that type of advantage, that's such an incredible advantage that I can't even imagine what these pitchers, you know, like I was speaking with Tyrus, who's a Fox News contributor, he's on my show on Thursday, and we could go back and forth because he's a huge Boston Red Sox fan. I asked him about it. He said immediately, strip them of their title because this is not fair. They didn't earn it.
Yeah.
If you know what pitch is coming, you have taken away the most important part of that pitcher batter relationship, which is a mental game, which is why I find it so interesting and compelling to watch, because there's the anticipation, but these pitchers are throwing pitches there that are designed in a sequence to try to get a batter out.
Right.
And the batter, being a professional major leaguer, is good enough to be able to adjust in that moment where they might be thinking fastball, but they see an off-speed pitch and they know that they can hit that. That's where the intellect meets the match of the skill and the God-given talent of these players. And these Astros and the Red Sox and anybody else who might be involved in this, that's where they've stolen this from the fans. They've stolen it from the game, and you can't disrespect the game. And I'll say one more thing. Before we just look at the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox as the worst of the worst, who knows how deep this goes? Who knows how rampant this goes? And you know, I'm kind of holding my breath right now to see if there's anything, any other domino that falls in the process of unearthing more and more information.
So somebody's going to come forward at some point with something more on this. I think you're absolutely right. Annie, before we run out of time here, I want to – yesterday, I think, was not a – it was a great day for the mainstream news media because it came across two different stories that they're using the talking points of the left to claim this somehow increases the seriousness of the impeachment trial. First was the Lev Parnas claims, this guy who was loosely associated with Rudy Giuliani. He made some pretty outrageous claims. And then there was the GAO report, the General Accounting Office report. I put this on Facebook last night. I had people saying, what's the GAO? People aren't familiar with this, but they need to understand how many times the GAO's opinion has been ignored by Barack Obama, by Bill Clinton. So many previous presidents have had rulings from the GAO that claimed something they had done is illegal. Nothing's ever been done about any of those. But yesterday, the Democrats want you to believe that the GAO report on Ukraine means he's got to be impeached.
Yeah, you know, I look at the entire saga, which is a long time if you want to look back at the whole thing, because it started basically on day one of the presidency, potentially even beforehand, depending on what we find out after Durham's investigation concludes. This is so orchestrated. Everything is so put into place. And the reason it's orchestrated is so that they can try to fool people like you and me and the person who is driving to work today, listening to the show or sitting at their desk or eating a bagel and drinking a coffee at home right now. They think we're foolish. They think we're stupid, and they really need us to be stupid so that they can manipulate all of these individual stories. They can time them. They can release them. They can set up interviews so that I saw Ryan Priebus was saying the Maddow interview with Parnas was completely orchestrated. You know, you can take that or leave it. But what I understand, and I think most of America is understanding right now, we are in a no BS political climate anymore, and it's only because of Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump can go on Twitter or he can set up a rally, and tens of thousands of people show up to hear what he has to say, because we know that everything else is put with some really, really strong rose-colored glass filter on it. You know, okay, like let's talk to the millennials here for a second. All those filters you put on your photos before you show the world how rosy your world looks, and you got to see what you've got to do to that photo to make it palatable for everybody else to see. It's the same thing the Democrats, Republicans do this too. But the impeachment is the only way that the Democrats know how to push against this president who just has an overflow crowd. Wherever he goes to all of these swing states, the new swing states, the states that he's actually turned into swing states. We don't talk about Florida as a swing state anymore. Florida's going to vote Trump, and we pretty much know that. Even the same thing potentially with Ohio.
Right.
The president has changed the landscape of how this election is going to go in the future, and the Democrats are so clinging to this impeachment because that's the way they feel as though they can hurt him enough to defeat him in November, if not possibly by removing him from office. That is, it is a fruitless effort, and they are making a mockery out of our political climate when we have real issues. What was it, 11 Americans injured in another Iran missile attack last night or something like that? The commander-in-chief is supposed to be pulled into this Democrat sideshow. He's still doing the business of the people. He's still signing new, very fruitful trade deals with China, if China actually adheres to it. He's, you know, got the USMCA on his desk now. This president is doing amazing things, and they run out Lev Parnas, and they do a slow pallbearer march to the Senate chambers with it's a joke, and the thing the Democrats cannot stand, especially the ones who are watching Jeopardy, is that nobody's paying attention anymore. They think that this is the biggest show that's ever hit American politics, and people are tired of it. They tune in to watch Donald Trump insult people in a very unpresidential way at a rally, and that's what we've come to know, because it's the only alternative to them peeing on our legs and telling us it's raining all the time. We know. We get it. We've experienced it for long enough now. We're actually, like, we've taken a master class in what the Democrats have to do to try to win an election, and it doesn't include getting votes in November.
I love it. It's just a beautiful point and well put. Listen, get back to taking care of those kids who I'm sure are anxious to go out and play in the 2 feet of snow we have outside.
You know what? I got to say one thing about this. To all the administrators, all the people making these decisions who decided that it wasn't worth the risk to have parents in cars trying to hustle from work in bad weather, I salute them. I thank them. We live in a lawsuit-heavy culture, and if one kid gets hurt or if one family gets in some sort of trouble this afternoon because the weather comes in the middle of the day, I think they make the right call.
There you go. Annie Fry, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. We'll be tuning in today noon to 3 here on 971 FM Talk, listening to the Annie Fry Show. You do know that I should have brought this up during our conversation. The GAO, the General Accounting Office, they found that Barack Obama broke the law when he released 5 Al-Qaeda terrorists in return for the traitor Bo Bergdahl. Do you remember the Democrat outcry about that lawbreaking? I don't either. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind today if any of your Democrat friends bring up this GAO report. 314-241-9797. Your call's coming up.
Searching for my lost sugar salt.
But I don't know him. I had never had a conversation that I remember with him. Certainly, let me just tell you, you just have to take a look at the calls. Quiet. You just have to take a look at the pictures. You just have to.
Quiet, Jim Acosta.
Sit down.
That's fake news. Quiet. They couldn't wait to get it to the president yesterday. Remember all this blow up recently? They had the headline was, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the headline said, like 16 former press secretaries have signed a letter urging the White House to restart the press briefings each day. I'm like, well, oh, I'm thinking to myself, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I went and looked at the list of who the 17 people were, right? They did have, they were not white, they were not all White House press secretaries. Many of them had been a secretary in the.
Were they White House press secretaries?
Not all of them had been White House press secretaries. Like Dr. Michael White.
I know
you make fun of how I say that. I enunciate. I paid attention. I paid attention in my broadcast classes.
They told you to say
white.
I just didn't know if there was a difference between.
Kind of sounds like my
house.
White
House. Yeah.
As I say to my family all the time, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Can I just say that?
When I usually hear that, I'm in panic mode. Where is the cat?
You're causing Denise to panic.
You can't handle the truth.
All right. Here's the
anyway,
deal.
Sorry.
Go so that's okay. So I went back and looked, and a couple of them were actually, as you would expect, former Democrat speaker or White House spokespeople, right? There were even one or two who were connected to Republicans like Bush in the past. And the rest of them were like former State Department spokespeople under Obama and maybe one or two under Bush, something like that. And so clearly the headline was misleading. These weren't people. These were all people that in some way are either never Trumpers or they're Democrats. And of course, they want the daily press briefing back. I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I like the idea of somebody coming out and addressing the press. Here's where the responsibility question comes in. And I've said this before in relation to specifically Jim Acosta. He got his press pass stripped from him. Mm-hmm. The White House Press Association complained about it, went to court, in fact, and managed to somehow find a court that thought it could overrule the White House ability to give out press credentials, which I think is silly because you have to earn those spots. They wouldn't let just anybody in there. And here we are today in a situation where, because of people like Jim Acosta, that's why they don't do daily press briefings anymore. I can relate this to this personally as a former reporter at Channel 4. When you went to a news conference that was going to be carried live, it was very important to the news director that your voice be heard screaming out a question. That's why when you look at these local news conferences it doesn't matter who's doing the news conference. You're going to hear local reporters vying so that you hear their voice screaming out the question so that later in their story, they can use their question and hopefully the answer from this individual. That's been going on a long time. That's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. When you've got people like Acosta who want to make themselves the story, that's not why you're there. As many times as a journalist for Channel 4, and you know, when I was at Channel 4 for all those years, I kept my political opinions to myself. That was my job. My job was to go out every day and cover whatever story I was assigned fairly, let both sides talk, let the viewer decide how they wanted to go, regardless of what my opinion was. It didn't really matter. Many times I'd go interview Dick Durbin. And some of the ridiculous stuff that would come out of Dick Durbin's mouth, I wanted to just reach out and throttle him sometimes, right? But that wasn't my job. My job was not to argue with him. It was to ask him questions about his position, let him answer the question, and then go back and say, you know, this is going to cost $10 million. Here's why Dick Durbin supports it. Not, isn't that ridiculous that we're spending $10 million on this? Dick Durbin's an idiot. And then go to a side. That was not my job. My job was to let Dick Durbin talk. This is what they've lost at the White House press briefings. Now it's a competition to see who can scream the most outrageous question at the person on the stage. And in years past, when that's happened, it's not like it hasn't happened in years past. Most times, one of two things would happen. Either the president or whoever was up there would ignore the question and just answer with their talking points, or they just wouldn't pick on that reporter anymore. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama got to the point where he wouldn't pick questions from the Fox News reporters in the audience or anybody he perceived that might ask him a difficult question. That's how he avoided it. Donald Trump don't play that, right? He'll take any question from any of them. He is the most accessible president this country's ever had.
And they don't know what
to do lifetime,
with it. Yeah, they have no
they have
idea.
No idea what to do with it.
You don't need a daily press briefing to find out what Donald Trump thinks about something.
Nope.
Pick up Twitter.
Or just walk outside the White House and wait for him. He'll stop and talk to you.
But he also doesn't suffer fools like Jim Acosta, who are trying to make a name for himself or herself by arguing with the president over their position on something. Like, right. Remember when Acosta argued with the president over the wall on the southern border, and isn't that inhumane, and was trying to lecture him on what does the plaque mean at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty?
Is that when he told him to sit down?
Yeah,
because wasn't it Acosta that he told when
sit down.
Famous sit down? I don't have it now.
Trump just doesn't put up with it. It's grandstanding. So when you hear things like what happened yesterday with Martha McSally, I want to play that bite again. Cut number 23, this Manu Raju with CNN is chasing her down a hallway, asking her questions with his microphone. Here it is.
Senator McSally, should the Senate consider new evidence as part of the impeachment trial?
Man, you're a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you.
You're not going
to
comment?
Senator, you're a liberal hack.
So not only did McSally not back down from that, she had a staff member rolling on it as well. So in addition to the CNN video of it, her own staff member had a phone rolling, and she released that on her Twitter feed. She said, I'm not backing down from this. He's a liberal hack. I'm not going to talk to him. I know what his angle is. He's working from a DNC talking point, and he's never going to cover my reaction fairly. I'm sick and tired of this. CNN, just so you know, their PR department released this statement. It's extremely unbecoming for a United States senator to sink to this level and treat a member of the press this way for simply doing his job. Chicken crap is what I say to that. He's not doing his job. This is why I've said the Press Association has got to hold its members accountable. Yeah, maybe they'll start having the press briefings again when you're asking reasonable questions, taking the answer and going out and reporting on what they said and not twisting it to your particular angle of the story, whatever that happens to be. Brian Stelter is the one who tweeted this out this morning, a new statement about McSally's comments to, Manu Raju, defending what he said. And here's what I tweeted at him. I'm like, the last time I checked, McSally is accountable to her voters. Who are you accountable to, Brian Stelter?
Right.
Who are you accountable to, Manu Raju? Certainly not your bosses, because your bosses let you get away with this crap. What he did was extremely unprofessional for these journalists to carry water for the DNC every day. And you're going to keep getting pushback like that from people like Martha McSally and Donald Trump and probably Ted Cruz and a few others as long as you keep that up. There's a lesson here that they're going to have to self-police themselves a little bit. It's not about shutting down the press. That's not what it's about.
Well, no, it's this line of journalism has been so blurred between pundits and true journalists.
Thank you.
CNN employs everybody under this, and they protect them under this journalist press credential, but they don't distinguish between their Mark Coxes and their whoever's supposed to be Mark at 97.1 versus Mark at KMOV.
Mm-hmm.
They don't draw that. They don't make that distinguished line clear, and then they make themselves victims.
I love that point, and thank you for making it, because yesterday on the show page, I just tweeted out a funny meme about the Republican platform and all that it stands, all the president's accomplished and then the Democrat platform, which just said hate Trump after the on the bottom of it. And I just put out that's the truth. In my opinion, that's the truth. And one of the people that commentated said she's so disappointed in me because she remembers when I was a real journalist. And what I wanted to say to her, I think her name is Martha. What I want to say to her was, if I have to explain to you the difference between a local working journalist and an opinion-based talk show host, it's probably not worth me wasting my breath to explain that to you. It's not. This is not a newscast.
They're two very different jobs.
It's not. I'm bringing you the news and telling you my opinion on it and inviting you to call in and agree or disagree with me at 314-241-9797. And I would never be credentialed as a working media member at the White House for a daily press briefing. I wouldn't. I shouldn't be. I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't cover the stories, but that room is designed for people that are going to tell you what's going on and go back and report it fairly the next day. Just tell the truth. That's all. That's what we want. We don't want the talking points of the left or the right coming from CNN or anybody. From their news division. There's a difference there. Quick break. We'll be right back. Isn't that a great song?
Though I tried not to hurt you.
Yeah.
It's going to be stuck in my head.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. This is one of those classic songs that gets stuck in your head.
Nice.
When I'm singing this,
nobody
on
wants
Sunday,
to hear that.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody does want to hear that.
No one's hearing us singing it. Let's put it that way.
That's what I mean.
So, what did you? The story that you were talking to me about earlier with Megxit having to get a job when she gets to Canada.
Well, apparently the offers are rolling in, and one in particular is Burger King. I guess the royal tie. Burger King tweeted out to Harry specifically. This royal family offers part-time positions, and you always have a job in our kingdom.
I get the impression the Canadians are not real hip on the idea of them moving there because they do draw a government salary, and Canada, you know, technically under the, you know,
do they have
the monarchy,
to? Do they
right?
get it? Really?
I think so.
I thought that they were, and I would have to do my research. I thought they were asking for the royal family to still pay them like 90% of like what they were supposed to.
I don't know if the government's supposed to chip in or not, but the people in Canada, that's why they were suggesting a job at Burger King to help make ends meet.
Huh. If the Canadian government has to pay for that, I'd be mad if I were them.
Ooh, that's a whopper. I'll tell you what. Hey, Jim Carafano coming up. Stick around.
<No way. laughs> We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.